them with them I go search for.
You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, community, really every aspect of our collective existence here on Earth. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living, and you can read more about me at healthfulliving.org, and you'll be able to get this show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich at realitysandwichradio.com. Today I'm really excited because we're going to be speaking about so many things that are important to all of us at Reality Sandwich and at Healthful Living with regard to life and success and growth and spiritual growth and business growth and life growth and what it really takes to succeed and fulfill our dreams and to live our destiny, and really just so many wonderful subjects and life matters, life juice that really moves us all. And I'm here in the studio today with Diana Liu. She is the founder and CEO of a company here in San Francisco called Image Global Impact. They're a corporation. They have three different divisions, and they provide corporate business consulting in the areas of international branding, marketing, operations, and management. They also do self-improvement seminars, predominantly in China, and offer self-improvement books as well. So her company, IGI, Image Global Impact, is a consortium of prominent international entrepreneurs, high-ranking IT professionals, and leaders in finance and law. Now, that's just the current introduction for Diana. Diana Liu came to this country less than a decade ago. She changed careers and countries. She was trained initially as a doctor in China, but then became a university professor and then a businesswoman. She learned English by watching TV in China. She came to America relying only on her husband, and then her marriage began to crumble just after 2 months after she got here to the States. And working completely on her own, she started an international business venture from scratch. In 1993, she earned the equivalent of $30 a month in China. But by the end of the decade, so this is now going back to the end of the 90s, with no formal business training, she was on her way to a successful career in the technology industry, working with some of the world's top companies. And by age 34, she retired from her telecom business venture as one of the leading female entrepreneurs in her field. Then she continued to explore new opportunities and engage new business ventures. She's the author of a new book called Daughter of the Yellow River, which tells her inspiring and empowering personal and professional story. She was born, raised, and educated in China during the dark, depressing, and frightening years of the 70s Cultural Revolution there. Diana Liu is bridging the gap between East and West, helping people realize their dreams and maximize their potential as immigrants to the United States and as entrepreneurs. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to the show, Diana Liu.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin, to have me here.
Thank you so much for coming. I had the opportunity to interview you. A friend and colleague of mine had worked with you and suggested that, you know, Diana might be a great guest for the show, knowing the types of things that we speak about here. And I find your story incredibly inspirational from so many fronts. And you're currently running a business consulting firm here in San Francisco. Is that right?
Yes.
IGI. And you consult to China and businesses. What kind of companies are you currently working with?
We're working, there are three different various companies, large corporations, like including joint ventures or public companies or the medium-sized private sectors, and then small companies that drive the international market too in China. Of course, we're also aiming the corporations in the United States who has tremendous opportunity and interest in investing in China too.
So you have specialized cultural expertise. You were born and raised in China, and you're bringing that to companies here in the States now that want to expand, but maybe not necessarily know how to.
Indeed, because cultural and plays a huge tolls in China business. It's about a culture make the business grow. Without it, a China business doesn't make any sense. For westernized people who are used to that such a law protect the society getting into the China, they have to switch their gears, how to tap into China, where it's the market they can tap into, where the relationships support them, how to expand the market. That's why I am very good at with my team together to explore the more opportunity, of course, profitability for the Western companies in China.
And beyond your business consulting with China, you're also out doing programs for entrepreneurs in any area of business. You have a 12-step business planning system. So there's a lot of things that you've gleaned and put together from your historical experiences in business and also your more current specific focus here in the U.S. with consulting the companies that want to work into China.
Yes, and I always found it tremendous inspiring if I'm doing something valuable for the people I care for or for the business I'm interested in. If I'm not busy, I just say who I am. I can't function if I'm not busy. So I have to have something make me feel worth living.
Right. So clearly you're very busy. You're doing all kinds of consulting and sharing of your knowledge and wisdom with the world. And I'd like to go back and let's talk a little bit about your book. Your book is called Daughter of the Yellow River. Mm-hmm. And this is your story of you know, your origins. And you were born in China.
Yes.
So can you just give us a little bit of, let's start with some background about the book, because you were not a typical story. Let's just begin. Right. You were raised back in the 70s in China.
Right. One of the biggest reasons I started thinking about writing this book, because I lived here for less than a decade in the United States. I constantly see a lot of people misunderstood real Chinese people, because there are some people like me, although experienced extreme hardship back to late 1960s by Cultural Revolution. That's where I experienced the most extreme hardship in my life so far, because my parents were very educated, intellectual, were deported all the way from the capital city of Beijing to the most deserted place in China. Even nowadays, you couldn't find that place in the China map. And so experience that doesn't mean I would consider myself as a victim. I will lose the hope or confidence in myself. Just became a very victimized immigrant. No, I see myself still equally independent and confident individual as any nations, any immigrants, even American survived, existed anywhere. That's why I want to change the image of a Chinese immigrants on Chinese people. That's the one reason I started writing this book.
Right. Now, your entire family was uplifted, you were saying, and you went from the high life, so to speak, in the upper echelons both your parents were educated. So how did that affect you as a child? And around what age were you at the time where your life was completely shifted?
I was about 3 or 4 years old. All of a sudden, I just remembered I was with my mom, took a long train from the always red and everywhere capital city of Beijing to a very deserted and sandy place with somebody's talking an entire different language I couldn't even understood. Life was harsh enough that most of the time, my parents even forbidden me to say anything boldly without feeling cautiously this is the right time or right thing to say it. Mm. It was a very paranoid years.
And what was expected of you at that time?
My parents always think it is that we should behave cautiously and do things that the government is supposed to do. But on the other hand, I was an innocent teenager. I still try to seek what is the most joyful for me to find. I find that singing and dancing and sometimes losing the emotional world by myself, because when I was singing with the theatrical makeup, I thought I was an angel living in my beautiful world. So even the most harshest time in everybody's life, I do still believe there is a moment you can find in life is beautiful.
Sure, sure. And then you were trained as a medical doctor.
Yes, as expected by any parents, especially like my professor parents. I either have to be a doctor or lawyers or engineer, whatever the most prestigious jobs that's supposed to be in society of China.
Right. So educated parents, you became educated, and then something happened. Something changed in you. Something that what is it about you, and what was this choice? Why did you decide to leave that?
Well, I had an internship in the hospital for 1 year. That's a traumatic year for me. I realized that, number one, I couldn't tolerate the pain to see the people die in front of me. Number two, I just passed out on the surgery platform 2 seconds when the doctor drilled the patient's skull. Mm. I said, no, I couldn't be a possibly good doctor. So facing that kind of difficult decision doesn't fit in my gut. I just thought, oh, my Lord, if I decided to choose a medical doctor, my whole life would be ruined. I'll be painful every single day. Because of that, I said, I do something else because I do believe I speak good English. I treat people well. There must be something I can do. I'm useful in this world. So I have to decide to find that way. So ignore tremendous pressures, the disadvantage of threw away a medical doctor career. I decided on my way because that would be end of my life. I've chosen to be a doctor because that would be suffering for me.
Now, what obstacles were there to that? What inhibition was there? I mean, I'm not from China. I don't know, but I can imagine that, you know, you're now stepping out of this fray and not doing what's expected of you. Yet I hear in you such a compelling need to follow, you know, what was in your heart and what you felt. I imagined that the system or your parents perhaps didn't, you know, necessarily go with what you wanted.
Because my decision wanted to follow my own heart, it was almost deemed as a craziness because there was no such thing job hunting by those days. Because every graduate's job is supposed to be appointed by the government. You had a permanent job. So there is no way I can find, even think about it, there is other way I can find another job. Second of all, my parents refused to give me any financial support if I decide to find a job. Third of all, I don't know what else I can find. In those days, I was, in a way, I was very happy. I didn't want to be a doctor. On the other hand, I was completely lost. What could I do without being a doctor?
Mm.
But I have a very, very slim hope with my own, they call it own illusion. There's got to be something I can do in this world. I have to try whatever I can. So I was very innocently blonde to try every way. Maybe this unit, government official has certain job fitting me for me. I can do receptionist or maybe health department need, foreign affair office need me. I tried many other ways. Almost every time I knocked the door, the answer was no. There were a period of at least about 7 months. I was in and struggling with myself. Should I just go back to medical career again, or can I try another day? But every single day I came back, my own close friends told me, Diana, you got to try one more day. And I told myself, tomorrow going to be different.
Hmm.
So I kept trying every single day. Guess what? The doors of another opportunity just opened to me.
And that's when you got was that your university teaching job?
Yes, there was a job position opening that are these needing for interview. I immediately jump and up and down to my parents. Please train me. Let's get the interview. I'll be great for a teacher because I love to talk. I love to give lessons to students. I'm very fond of students together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, by 45 minutes interview, even my hand was very trembly, and my hand written on the blackboard was scratching. I couldn't even recognize, but I was still successfully passed my first interview, job interview.
So here you are in China. I'm guessing at that point, 20s, late 20s, something like this. Perhaps
24.
Okay, mid-20s, and you've bucked what was expected of you from the communist government and, you know, dictatorial parents and the system, and you've just stepped out and said, this is what I want to do, this is what feels right, and now you're teaching. And then, so how does you go from that to international business?
Well, I never thought I would be an international entrepreneur, to be honest with you. At the time I got the job at being a university teacher, I was excited and to be part of my life. I think his life was great. And that hardship also gave me a tremendous, hope, encouragement that I do can control my life. I do can decide my future. So, when I decided that the teaching career is not quite to satisfy my creation, my passion, I want to do more in life, and I decided maybe I could try something else again.
How did you decide what to do? I mean, I'm feeling you just hearing your story, right, that you wanted more. You got this notion inside of you that you can create something. What triggered that to actually become, you know, into business?
Well, at that time, Shenzhen was developed at the very first capitalized city of whole China. Mm-hmm. The news about the city and the people came from that city. It was a tremendous attraction for me because they look modern, they talk differently, they seem full of opportunities and hope. I was excited by what's going on by that city. And it's very welcoming for newcomers, too. I felt, you know what? I got to go try. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. So that's one of the major reason attract me, say, oh, maybe this is the city I can have a different life. What life it would be, I have no idea. I just want to go try.
I like that. The idea that, I don't necessarily know exactly what it's going to be. I just know there's a lot of opportunity there for me. And I can make something happen.
Yes. Yes, and indeed.
And you had garnered that that inspiration within yourself to go, just put yourself into that opportunity to go and be there in a place where there's a lot of stuff happening and knowing that something's going to emerge for you.
Well, I believe until you try, you never know. Because I did it with this most difficult situation, finding a different job for a month. Even my parents kicked me out with $7 in my pocket. I did it. What's wrong this time? I said, you still can try.
So then what happened from that point? How did you get involved in business?
Well, whether you believe it or not, February 28th of 1993, that was the first day I arrived in Shenzhen. That day just started opening my entire different life, being a businesswoman and lead to today's entrepreneur. Because after 4 years jumping around different careers from public relationship officer to real estate development officer to eventually engage Shangri-La as a training officer, and by 1995, I engaged the British company and for very first time gave me that the full-length experience as exploring the market, build a relationship, learn how to deal Western business versus the Chinese business, build my fundamental knowledge as cross-culture business foundation. I became an international entrepreneur since then.
So Shenzhen is the name of the city?
Yes.
So you had various business jobs there, as you just mentioned, and it was that real on the ground in the business experience and then working with an international business company that gave you this insight from the China perspective. And it sounds like your mind was obviously very open to understanding bigger business and understanding the implications of business in China and internationally. And then and you brought all that into yourself. What then made a leap from taking in that knowledge to coming to the U.S.? Because within a few years, you were tremendously successful here. So how then did that merge? How did you come here?
One of the strong reason is because when I worked for a British company, the end of 1996, I realized that my vision has become more clear. In terms of company's vision is a little bit different. I believe there's something more I can do for the company. Also see the certain limitation that prevent myself to grow to a bigger market. Mm-hmm. And even the one of vendors said, Diana, you're capable of being of your own boss. I was shocked by the notion he gave it to me. On the other hand, I believe, really, maybe I should give that kind of a chance to try. So by the end of May of 1997, I decided, you know what, maybe I should move to the United States to see what else I can do more, just what I have achieved. Maybe United States, another different promising land. And also based on my 1996 travel, I visited the United States, confirmed that this is definitely another great land for me to explore more adventure.
So you were able to come here because you got married? Is that what was the? I mean, we don't have to get into too many details, but you got to the States, and from what I'm gleaning from reading your bio and going through some of the material in the book, it was not as if you landed here with somebody setting you up, so to speak.
Right? No. The funny thing is, I have to say that 1996 in October, I visited here. The first day I visited New York on my own. Without my ex-fiancé accompanying me in New York, I learned the slang. And I eventually joked around that he was mad. I said, let's have a cup of coffee, hot dog, and you know, we could have a talk. And he said, you certainly fit in the U.S. very well. So guess what? That is, everything I have experienced in a short period of time is really encouraging. And, of course, also my engagement with my ex-husband is one of the major reasons for me to move to the United States. But more so, it's my life choice to see if I can do more for my life, to explore adventure. I have a heart of adventure. I always want to drive how well I can do myself, how much I can challenge myself, too.
All of which stems into the inspirational energy of an immigrant, because you were an immigrant here. You had arrived in the U.S. and you had this whole cadre of knowledge and life experience that you had gained in China of international business, and then what, you just decided to come here and master the telecom industry? I mean, how did you get involved in telecom?
Well, and at the beginning, we thought we were going to work together with my ex-husband mm-hmm. as a partnership, still continue exploring different business ventures together. But by the marriage fell apart, basically, at the beginning, I decided I have to depend on myself solely. And what is really making me successful, I thought about it after, kind of reviewing all the opportunities in front of me. I do believe telecom still my best forte to still continue, because I have a value for the market. I have a value for the vendors. I'm fully knowledge with the different markets and a relationship together. So I was one of the well-suited and the highly accomplished professionals in China. So I go back to the market, pick up what I have left. Mm-hmm. But then I became my own competitor with my old boss, the British company. I was surprised I decided to do that, but I was also very happy I did that.
So you did, in fact, take what you had learned and came to America and applied it for yourself.
Correct.
I mean, this is how we define the American dream.
Exactly.
Really, the entrepreneurial dream that needn't be housed specifically in America. It's just that here we have in the environment that supports it.
Oh, absolutely. I found that tremendous, tremendous attractive when United States giving that kind of spirit of entrepreneurship, the openness and adventurousness. So I followed this and my own thought said maybe this is another great opportunity. I can do it on my own.
So here you are in your early 30s.
I hope I'm
having at this point of the story,
right?
In your early 30s, having come to the U.S. starting from China, and a system that wanted you to fit in line, be a doctor, do as you're told, and serve society honorably. Instead, now here you are in your early 30s, having left all that behind, chosen your own path. You've come to the U.S. and you're succeeding, applying your knowledge in a pretty fast-moving, high-paced, high-earning industry, telecom, high-tech stuff in the late 90s. And you do really well at that, such that you retire. At 34. I mean, I read that. What does that really mean? I mean, did you just decide that that's no longer what you want to do? Did you have gazillions of dollars off in the Cayman Islands and you were ready to retire? I mean, that was it. I mean, what does retire mean to you at that point?
I do believe at certain stage of your life, you realize there are certain things is reached, there are certain limits. You wanted to explore something else instead. I would say that I retire from telecom industry, but I continue my journey into a different directions. In that sense, I would never be retired. I give myself a little congratulating conclusion in my telecom career, but I explore more opportunities on the international corporate consulting, even engage a lot of soul searching communication about self-help and for also give more back to the people who has supported me, including United States and China.
Well, I want to say, for one, that it's quite just, you know, honorable to connect with you at this point in your life and your career, because so often, I mean, this kind of a story of wanting to give back and share and inspire, you know, we often hear from, you know, more gray-haired people towards the end of their careers and they're writing a book and, you know, here's looking back at my life, you know, what I've done for myself and now I want to share with others. And here I see you after having, you know, quite an amazing story, you know, thus far already in your life, saying, okay, now the rest of it is feeding it back out to others and inspiring other people with my story and with the, from what I'm getting from you, the grounded humanity of your story, in that it is not necessarily absolutely unique to you as far as only being possible just for you, Diana Liu, only. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, about what you want to teach, what you want to show, what you want to demonstrate, you know, your core message to others. Here in the second half of the show in just one moment. So you're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. This is Martin Matthews. You're listening to Reality Sandwich. And we're here in the studio today with Diana Liu. She is the director of Image Global Impact and the author of a new book called Daughter of the Yellow River. And what is the best place for folks to get information about you?
You can find me at the company website at www.igimpact.com, or you can simply type daughteroftheyellowriver.com. You can buy the book from Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. So let's talk a bit more about entrepreneurial spirit. Here's a quote out of the book. It was clear to me now that I can control my destiny. Though I was proud to consider myself a daughter of the Yellow River, I didn't need to define or limit myself by circumstances I came from. What counted was where I was heading. I deserved the best life I could achieve. Nothing could stop me from pursuing my joy, my love, my success, and my happiness. I had a great deal of value to offer, and I could make a difference in this world. My world was in my hand and in my heart. Entrepreneurial spirit, for sure. And how... I just keep coming back to this question. How is it that this spirit grew so intently and so powerfully in you, clearly from a very young age?
Well, let's see. From the early stage of my teenagers back to the culture of the desert college in China, my own mother has taught me nobody can take your spirit away. You decide to survive. That spirit always buried in your heart. So from early stage, I was very blessed by my own parents fighting against very harsh political depression and torture. And we definitely got through the most difficult time. That gives me the hope that even the hardest time, if you keep positive, think about your own life, think about your own spirit, you can get through everything. So even I was a medical doctor, I didn't limit my future, my fate by prearranged of these fate that parents or society forced me. And look at that. I tried the medical doctor to university teacher, then tried a business world. By what? By following my own heart. So what life taught me so much, from teacher, medical doctor, to businesswoman, to sing opera. I started opera when I was 35. So it gives me tremendous joys that no one can limit who you are, but only matters what are you heading for, what do you see self to achieve in the world. That's why life itself gave me tremendous support because I follow my heart. I tried. If I can do this, everybody can, because I do believe I am no different than any other people, period.
You mentioned in the book about the real sources of success, and you say here that material riches are temporary. They can be stolen or lost. I want to help people recognize and value what really counts, their inner wealth. The real sources of success and happiness reside within us, in our heart, our mind, and our hands, and indomitable spirit. So what message do you really want to bring? I mean, to entrepreneurs today, there's so many. I mean, America is the land of business opportunity.
Correct.
And most businesses fail.
Yes.
Where are people going wrong?
Because of one thing, the motivation of a lot of people driving for business is about money. No. Any of my success, you know, financial success, never driven by the money itself, only driven by my passion, by passion of achieving something valuable for myself. I enjoyed what I'm doing. I delivered something so valuable to the world. Because of that, I got a composition. Automatically, it was almost a miracle, I would say that. If you follow your heart, if you follow your passion, money follows you. That's one of the reasons when people drive for money, they're subject to the external environment to define themselves as a human being, which is quite contrary, because human beings are supposed to master of the world. The material comfort or external support or reputation or prestige all comes as a side product because you followed your heart, your drive because of your passion. It has always happened to, if you see the Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, these true entrepreneurs. I never thought of any time think about, how much money I'm going to gain. I'll be in a multimillionaire or next project. I never thought about it. I just really dived into what I believe in my heart, and I work very hard. I do not believe there's such a thing called luck. I do believe luck is opportunity plus 100% preparation. This 100% preparation, including physical preparation, mental preparation, emotional preparation, and financial preparation. You have all this preparation together, luck always comes to you.
What were some of the obstacles that you faced in your path to success? What are some of the things that you had to butt up against?
People's assumed judgment about who I am, things could be, or there's always some second guess about myself. I worked so hard against that. And as long as I don't have any doubt about myself, any other external obstacles, people's disapproval and judgment or any pressure or any possible, you know, obstacles you can imagine in human beings, it doesn't matter for me. As long as I believe in myself, that's a tremendous power.
And the believing in yourself, we'll speak a little bit more about that, because you mentioned here in the book about the path of success. It's very much on point here. The path of success, this is from the book, is simple to understand, though following it can sometimes be a challenge. First, discover what you love, what brings you joy, what sparks passion. Second, based on that passion, determine your goal in life. Third, dedicate yourself, thoughts, dreams, and most of your actions to attaining that goal. It says here, I achieved most of my success by taking this profound journey, and I believe that we all have the power within us to do the same. Remember, your soul is not afraid. Listen to what it tells you. If you do what you love, follow your passion, and express your authentic self, nothing can stop you from achieving what you dream. Now, I read that, and I go, yes, I take it all in. And then my mind goes, and I'm sure many listeners are going, well, yeah, but my circumstance is more difficult. I have had a difficult childhood. I have had parents who never believed in me. I have had a system that has, you know, thrown up roadblocks, or I've, you know, had money taken from me, or I have this challenge and that challenge. Yeah, I really want to, I have passion. I really want to do this. It's really important to me, but there's all these things that are in my way.
Didn't I have those? My parents disapproved, society disapproved. I had no money. I have no place to stay. did those circumstances stop me? No. I'm saying that because I'm like any one of you, vulnerable with all those obstacles. But the point is, your soul, your spirit is still in you. You really have to pay attention what is really make you. Not those circumstances, not those pre-arranged condition, but who you are inside of you. Go search that part of you. It's actually very serene and peaceful if you're able to surrender who you are. Be vulnerable to be in love in your soul. You wouldn't be afraid. Because believe it or not, the obstacle I experienced in life probably lots of time the Western wouldn't want to bear. But I did it because I believe life gave me the fair chance. The more you pay the price, the more you earn back as a result, rewards. That's why no matter what hardship, what condition life may present it to me, seems it's so harsh, so difficult. But as long as I don't give up my hope, don't give up my soul, I will prevail. And as now, in a couple months, I'll be 40 years old. All my obstacles is disappeared. Has never been really conquered my soul because I stick to it. And every one of you have tremendous soul to can stand up for you. Stand up all those obstacles. This is not a really mere scientific or an imaginable solution. It's very true. You can do it every single day. Just talk to yourself that let's just try one more day if I believe in myself. Let's put those side conditions, obstacles on there because they exist. Let them exist. You can ignore them. Continue to try what you believe. You will see miracle happens every day.
What's the plight of women today, women in business, in your opinion?
Oh, in the United States, I would say women are really a blessing because they are supported by the culture is very much blessed that women are equal more to the man. But in China, women still play very subservient roles in terms of their own wellness. Oftentimes, I can see women try to be so perfect to fitting the society image as a woman. You have to, if you're a successful woman, you have to be married, have children, wonderful family. If you're not married or you're choosing different life that most people don't approve, your success seems odd. So my job, and not only as a woman, also be the founder of IGI, is to advocate to more women in this world to believe women has a choice, a right to choose any different kind of life, whether you're married or not married, you're wealthy or not wealthy, as long as you're happy, that's the life you're choosing, that's great.
Well, let's talk a bit more about that in the last 20 minutes of the show here. I want to get into some of your incredible experience, your incredible story and inspiration and insight for those. What right now is really driving you? I mean, you're going to turn 40. You've had an incredible life experience. Yeah, you've got really, you know, the world is your oyster. And I clearly get from your perspective that, you know, wherever you wanted to cast the net across the planet and have an impact, you could do so. And yet you're basically focusing on really nurturing others to plant these similar seeds of possibility within themselves. So where does your passion lie today as far as applying all of this? What really, really gets you going?
What my passion nowadays, I want to help a lot of Westerners to understand China as a nation, as the business powerhouse, and also people. And in the meantime, I want to help China to grow out of the old habit of doing business, also the view of the world. Because China nowadays deemed by the Western world the powerhouse, which I believe so. But on the other hand, I do believe China has a lot to learn in order to merge a real global market. And I do believe China passed a certain part of China has passed an initial capital accumulation. But however, the how they conduct the business, how to manage the people, how to manage market, there's still a long way to learn from the West.
What are some of the greatest misconceptions that America has about China right now?
First thing, they would think, oh, 1.3 billion. If I can earn $1 from one person, I'll get $1 billion. Number one, no way. It's not a 1.3 billion people you're going to focus. You may be focusing on less 10% of the Chinese population possible interested in your products, number one. You really have to know what market you want to go to. Number two, China is not the market like the United States, at the market economy. No, it's very much relationship-oriented, less regulated, unpredictable market. So first of all, you really have to understand the culture, which is very far different from United States. How to deal with the people from gut level or versus to deal with business in the logical level, that the Westerner have to recognize that. You have to stop being judgmental about China itself, because they are China, and they will be that way for a very long period still.
Well, here's a typically judgmental American question. Should we be afraid that China is going to replace the U.S. as a global superpower?
I don't think that China will replace any other country. It grows as whatever global trend emerge each other, will be partnered with any other country together. No.
I feel compelled to ask that judgmental question because I know it exists in the judgmental mind of most Americans.
Does it feel like a threat? No, they are. There are just so many people need to survive, have place to stay, have food to eat, a little extra of education. It's a very natural human need because of so many people. It looks like, oh my Lord, China is going to become a threat to any other country. No, they are not.
Well, there's still many historically irrelevant notions in the minds of the masses. Yeah. China, 1.3 billion just seems like an overwhelming number for most people. They think about that or read about it. Oh, my goodness, what does that mean? China is still a communist nation. What does that mean for a capitalistic world? You know, just those sort of notions. What I mean, clearly you have insight and opinion here. So what? Set us straight a little bit.
Let me put it this way. Communism, as the ruling parties believe, has nothing to do how they reform the economy, because they recognized that human beings are human beings. We have to survive. Mm-hmm. So the government had to satisfy the people's basic survival need. That's why the huge economic reform is about. Mm-hmm. And they still continue to do the same thing to satisfy people's need. So either it's a communist party or capitalism has the same function. I really don't care whether they're a communist party or not, as long as they make a country stronger, make people happier, and that is a good government. I have to say, I will give the Chinese current government great credit to manage such a difficult country with a 1.3 billion people, with a huge unbalanced geographical and economical differences. Is a hard job. I cannot imagine any other government can do better job than the current Chinese government.
Well, it's clearly a formidable task. And, you know, the world is going to develop in whatever pace it's going to. I mean, everyone needs to grow and go forward in time and be provided for in one way or another. And I think that, you know, collectively as a planet, we're all just trying to make that happen as best we can. I wanted to ask you a little bit about specifically business opportunity. Let's just look at that for a moment. Let's speak out there to the entrepreneurs and to the business international business people that are thinking, oh, well, there's opportunity in China. For whom is there opportunity, do you feel? And who is incorrectly getting their hopes up, perhaps?
I would say for those people who actually, number one, interested in China culture, interest in the Chinese market, interest in Chinese people who have no judgment about who they are, what the country is, they have much better chance. Number two, their market and their products more suitable for Chinese need, not the Western need. And number third, they're willing to adopt the culture and environment change in order to fit in the market need or sustain for the market need. And these Western companies are well, and also have a huge potential to gain much higher profit and market in at least, I would say, in my life, at least 50 to 100 years.
Hmm. Is there any, what's a company that's doing well, do you think? An American company
that knows McDonald's? How to, okay. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. McDonald's not only that adopted a lot of Chinese culture and is very flexible, open-minded to not only bring the American pop culture, also adapt the Chinese habit of eating the culture customs into their business. It's extremely successful. P&G is also very well, doing very well, and very impressed. Their cosmetic products almost dominate every single market of the for women's consumptions. Mm-hmm. Is very good. That's two examples. I'm highly encourage the other American company to follow their footstep. But for the other Western company, before they step into China, we would highly recommend to consult with the cross-culture business expert, like, for example, like IGI, preventing you, waste your time and the money to go to the market which doesn't have no merit for your products, for your perspective, the market development. Not every product's going to fit in the United States, fitting in China.
Right. And of course, folks can get more insight on their specific circumstances by checking in with your company if they wish to at IGImpact.com. You know, in our last few minutes, let's shift our gears to speaking to entrepreneurs out there, or whether you're an entrepreneur in business or simply an entrepreneur in your life, as far as feeling a sense of wanting to be more aligned with your own inner purpose, your own inner passion, doing what feels right to you. With your life experience as an entrepreneur and overcoming so many obstacles and, you know, in many different areas throughout your life, and now one of the things that you're teaching with your business is a business planning system, programs for entrepreneurs and for business leaders. I'd like you to speak just a little bit, you know, about that and you know, what must every one of us possess, whether we're an entrepreneur or someone wanting to follow our passion, and how do we use the obstacles, the things that get in our way, the fear, how do we use them to serve us?
One of the things in my life, when I follow my entrepreneur spirit, I learned fear is something you never can avoid it. But how to deal with the fear, it makes a real entrepreneur versus just a follower. Because why? Fear is just an illusion we created for ourselves. It's not a real thing. We try to use that subconsciously as an excuse stop us to taking risk. Mm. But oftentimes I learn that although I know I have fear, but I'm still willing to try. Well, I'm feeling something terrible in the meantime, I still try. It turns out my action improved my fear as no power. So in a sense, I want to encourage a lot of people who has the passion and have courage in their heart, try to overcome the fear by trying things while you still feel that something is unsettling. The more you're trying to find out from the action, from the life, the less fear you have. Because oftentimes I found out that either you choose to make the right decision or wrong decision, whether it's out of fear or out of courage, you can tell. Because why? The price are the same. However, the consequences, the results are entirely different. If I were them, I would definitely say 50-50 chance I'm going to win, I'm going to try. Because at least you have 50% of chance winning something you want. But if you stay where you are because the fear, you have zero chance. That's the tremendous message I want to give all the entrepreneurs to continue to try, continue to learn from the experience, continue to or ignore the fear. The fear maybe existed, let it exist. You keep trying, keep learning, keep achieving.
And is it this fear and is it this perhaps complacency that results from that fear. Is that what's essentially broken, part of what's broken with America today?
Yes, exactly. Because one of the things I think is a complacency is also the result of the fear of losing your comfort zone. However, I do not believe what you believe now is a comfort zone will become the comfort zone in the future, because the world is growing, we're changing every day, and the business is changing every day. You cannot control that something is changing. Either you follow the change to make the change with them together, or you stay whatever already outdated. And that, actually, I consider is the worst situation you want to choose, because you're afraid of losing what you have. Actually, you're already losing what you have. In order to follow, to maintain what you have, I would encourage you to try to create something, maybe more than what you have. The truth is, it happens all the time.
And lastly, how do we get ourselves, when we're feeling fear, how do we break from that fear and reconnect and get back to a place of courage?
Well, how to deal with the fear nowadays, I often do that. I write down my fear specifically, but I have to stay away from everybody else. I write down my fear specifically every day when I feel that. When I read out loud, first time, I think it's, oh, that's terrible. Then I read a different tone, like you're joking. Mm-hmm. You realize, oh, that's not a big deal. You read it every day, or sometimes you can, let's say, give yourself 10 minutes reading that every single minute. You're sick of it. Eventually, even forget it. So there is a many way you can exercise to deal with the fear, is just reading it, knowing it, that maybe it's just my illusion, just a one-time thought. But in the meantime, continue doing what you're supposed to do. It doesn't really hurt you at all.
Hmm.
And once you get in the habit of your conscious getting a strong signal, the memory is constantly pounding you, you definitely can do it. The fear, just an illusion.
You heard it right here. Fears are an illusion. Just keep doing what you're meant to do, what you're meant to do. Diana Liu, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Reality Sandwich. The book is Daughter of the Yellow River, and your company is IG Impact.
Yes.
And folks can hear more about that at igimpact.com. They can just type in Daughter of the Yellow River into their Google, and they'll get information about the book and hear more about your incredible story, from China to international business to now dedicating the second two-thirds of your life, since you're about to turn 40 or so, to helping others and inspiring other entrepreneurs and teaching people what it really takes to connect with their inner selves and bring forth their gifts to the world. I thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me here.
You've been listening to Reality Sandwich on 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a clinical medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and you can hear this show and any past show at realitysandwichradio.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter there. And I inspire each of you to go back and listen to this show and just take in bits and pieces of Diana's story and equate it to your own life and ask your own self, you know, where is it that I'm holding back? Where is it that fear is stopping me? Where is my inner passion? How can I use some of these nuggets to inspire my own self to initiate change in my own life and or with others? And always remember that all change begins with you. This is 89.5 KPOO. We'll be back next week with Reality Sandwich. Thanks for tuning in.